I'm Yardley.
And I'm Zibby.
And these are the mini-sodes.
They're bite-sized
stories about
true crime.
That's it. The Small Town Dicks team play a version of Ask Me Anything with hilarious, sometimes thoughtful, and surprising results.
Okay, so Dan, what police officer cop stereotype do you feel rings the most true for you?
For me personally, the cop stereotype is, I think you guys saw it at lunch, is that I'm hyper-vigilant, always looking around, seeing who's coming indoors, walking by, where people are in relation to me.
On or off duty, you're just always aware.
Right. I hate having my back to an entryway. I hate it. It drives me nuts. And you noticed all three cops were sitting on the same side of the table today.
Facing the front door.
Facing where any threat would be coming from.
Right.
I've gotten criticism from friends and girlfriends in the past, like, why are you always doing that? Why do you care so much about sitting where you're facing the door?
And why are you always looking around?
Right. You're not paying attention to me. I'm paying attention to you and everything else.
If we were on a date, I'd be like, stop looking at everybody else. Do you know what I mean? I get that. But you guys were doing that.
Right. So for me, it's that.
What about you, Dan?
I think for me, and it'll probably echo kind of what Dave is saying. Cops have trust issues because everyone lies to us. Every night that I would go out and work, people would lie to me constantly. And so those trust issues sometimes bleed over into your personal life, where I see someone walking down the street approaching me, and automatically there are red flags that appear to me that may not appear to you or Yardley. Like lunch today, for instance, we're facing the door so we can see what's coming in because we don't trust people. So I think that that's a fairly accurate stereotype, that cops don't trust people. It's definitely accurate for me. And I'm always wondering, what's this person's angle? What do they want?
I was thinking you guys were going to be like, all officers really do love donuts, but...
Scones and lattes, not coffee and donuts.
Wouldn't have known.
My question is, besides all the people that you've already worked with, who would you most like to or be most interested in working with in your career moving forward? Is there one person?
For me, there's a list of several, but I really would love to work with The Rock.
Unexpected. Oh, man. Really?
Yeah, but also Helen Mirren. She's extraordinary. She's my hero. Love her. The list is long, but yeah, I really want to work with The Rock.
That's the greatest fun fact I've ever heard about you. I've known you for a while. I didn't know that The Rock was like an aspirational career moment.
Yeah,
like,
true story.
I feel like if you're listening to this, The Rock.
I know, dude. If you're into true crime and you happen to catch this little game, please DM me on Twitter.
I've got a confession. I've got a bit of a man crush on The Rock, so.
Well, this is going to happen. I feel like we're putting it out there. I personally don't have a single one being in mind. You know, it's changed over the years. There were certain directors that I used to think I wanted to work with, and that's certainly changed. I mean, my instinct is like, there are a number of interesting, powerful women, female writers, directors, and actresses who are doing cool work right now, and I just want to be a part of that movement because I like what's happening for the underrepresented minorities, including females. It's a cool time.
That's such a fabulous, esoteric, thoughtful, interesting answer.
I really appreciate that. I feel like it's sort of boring, but I really mean it. I mean, I'm paying attention right now to like the up-and-coming female directors and writers especially. There's some really good material that's just starting to surface, and I want to get on that.
It's so smart. I feel like if I paid attention to that stuff, I'd be a lot more successful.
I don't know how much more successful you want to get.
Okay, my turn to ask Dan and Dave something. Have you ever arrested someone who then later told you that that had a positive influence on their lives? I know you get a lot of fuck you, not a lot of thank you, so.
Like, thank you for arresting me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'll start with this. Firemen and police, there are two distinct ways to wave to each profession. With a fireman, it typically involves all five fingers. With a cop, there's only one finger involved. And then they're not saying you're number one. With that said, there's one specific instance that I recall. An officer had lost his life. And a week later, we were having the service, the memorial service for this officer. I was dreading that day. And during the memorial service, I had to use the restroom. So I'm in the restroom and I hear the door behind me open and I look up and it's a man that I've arrested a lot of times. He's got a little boy with him who I'm guessing is probably 4 to 5 years old. And we lock eyes, me and the man that I've arrested. We both immediately recognize each other. I'm not in the mood for any bullshit, obviously. And the man says to his son, "Hey, I want you to meet one of the good ones." And he reaches out, shakes my hand, and says to his son, "If you're ever in trouble, you need to call this man."
Wow.
And pointed it to me.
Wow.
And I looked at him just in shock because I never thought this day would come, especially from this guy. And he said, "I want to thank you for always treating me with respect." And he tells me that he got his life together. And I'm a different man now. And part of that is because of you. And that shook me up. I walked out of there. I don't even remember walking back to my seat because he had literally scrambled my brain.
Mm.
That's amazing.
I have chills hearing that. That's so cool.
That's interesting because I know who he's talking about. And someone related to him is the person that cuts my hair. Her name's Jenny. Fabulous haircut. You agree?
Looking good.
I agree.
She talks about this person, and he has his stuff together now. He's solid, solid dude. Good guy. Good.
That's such him. A small town feature.
Right, that the guy Dan has arrested on multiple occasions is related to the woman who cuts Dave's hair. And how about you, Dave?
I'm not thinking about specific people. I don't have one of those. Like Dan's story, there's parts that Dan left out about that story that Dan did CPR on this fallen officer. So it hits home in a particular way. And then that day was horrible for obvious reasons. So I don't have a story that specific. Anecdotally, I've had interactions with people who are like, "You arrested me and I want you to know that I've got my life together and I really appreciate how nice you were." It happens often. I get a lot of feedback from people that say, "Thanks for being nice to me. Thanks for being respectful. And thanks for not being a dick to me. I haven't always had that same type of interaction with cops." I appreciate that because it's kind of my barometer on where am I with my moral compass and how do I treat people? Do I judge people? It's not my job to judge people. It's my job to arrange a meeting with the judge. But I take pride in that type of interaction with people feeling like I showed them respect and I was courteous and I wasn't judging them.
That's fantastic.
All right, ladies, this is kind of a two-parter though, and I don't know if that's fair. Are we going to allow it?
Sustained.
We'll allow it.
All right. And you can kind of answer this in either way. So what's the worst slash best way to approach you two in the event that you're recognized? Speaking from a fan's perspective here.
Oh.
We don't. I mean, you deal with this more. It probably happens to me about four times a year.
What's the worst
tops
thing that someone can do?
I think my least favorite question is, "Hey, you're somebody, right?" Or, "Hey, aren't you famous?" And then if they go, "Aren't you in the movies?" And then you say yes. And then they go, "What are you in?" And then you start to like read off your resume and they go, no, that's not it. No. Like, it's okay. Thank you for the recognition. We're done. Can we be done?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
They keep naming things and they don't know what, and you're like, ugh.
Right.
Or is that show still on? That's one of my favorites.
That's pretty good. It does bug me when people are like, "I know you from somewhere. Like, what is it?" And then you have to list like the things you've done. It's so embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
But in general, I still like it when like it's still sort of like a fun miracle when somebody recognizes me. It's like, "Oh, you were really paying attention in that show." Or, or, you know, like, "Do you remember that one time? Do you know what I'm going to talk about?" we were in the airport.
Yes, okay. I do.
Do you?
You tell it. You tell it.
Oh, my gosh. This was a hilarious moment because we're out together all the time, and usually people recognize you, Yardley. We were at the LAX airport, and this woman with her child starts making a beeline for us. And I was like, I said to you, I was like, here we go. They recognized you. Do you want me to run interference or whatever? And the lady comes right up to us.
And first, let me say, so I'm prepping because, you know, I always want to receive people graciously. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Yeah.
And you're great at it. And she like, her gaze goes right past Yardley and she goes, oh my gosh, you're such a great actress. You're in the TV, right? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, yeah. I forget what she recognized me
from. It was the Tide commercial.
Was it? I think it was Ant Farm because her kid was there. I was on a Disney show. She said Ant Farm, and then she said, oh, and you do commercials. Like, she knew my body of work.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I was like, yeah. And then she looked over at Yardley. She goes, and what do? Are you an actress too?
It was awesome.
And I was like, this is an amazing moment in my life. Because never am I the one recognized of the two of us.
It was pretty funny.
Well, I guess you kind of answered the second part of that question was, what's the most awkward fan interaction you've had?
Yeah.
Which I guess both of those would kind of qualify.
Another awkward one for me was a guy delivered my room service in Las Vegas. He specifically saw my name come up on the ticket in the kitchen, apparently. So he took the order, brought it upstairs, and then proceeded to show me all of the Simpsons tattoos all the way up both legs.
Oh, my.
That
awkward.
Was a little.
How far up the legs?
Well, I said, oh, that's okay, when he was like pulling it past his knee. Like, no, we're good. That's awesome.
I imagine him using, like, he's got Homer on the upper thigh, and that upper thigh hair is Homer's hair.
I'm happy to say he didn't get that far, but wow.
Special. Okay. As officers of the law, what is your biggest pet peeve?
One of my biggest pet peeves is walking into a restaurant, anywhere where I'm wearing my uniform, or you can tell that I'm a police officer. When I'm a detective, I have plain clothes, I have a badge on my belt, I've got a gun visible, and people will turn to their small children and say, if you don't do what I tell you, he will arrest you.
Pointing to you.
And point to me, and nothing makes my blood boil more than that.
And why is that?
Because kids should look at police officers as the good guys. And you're making me out to be the bad guy. So
what do you do when that happens?
I will get down to their level, like squat down to their level, and say, I only arrest bad parents. And I will look right to the parent.
That's hardcore.
I love that. That's really good.
It's amazing what people will say to you in today's era, walking in and somebody says, hands up, don't shoot. That's just a slap in the face.
Like when you walk into a coffee shop and someone sees you in your uniform and they say that.
It's a false narrative to begin with. Or, I didn't do it. I've heard that 35 times today. Thank you for number 36. Appreciate that.
That's hilarious.
I've got one other one, and it's specific to my caseload, my partner and I, partner Matt. So we have situations where we go out on a sexual abuse call involving a child, and we meet somebody that knows the suspect or is a family member or a close friend, and they inevitably say, well, I've never seen him sexually abuse a child. And my response is, well, I wouldn't imagine you would. They don't have witnesses around when they do that, and I'd hope you'd intervene if that happened.
And that happens a lot?
It happens a lot.
Wow.
Okay. If you weren't in the business you're in, what occupation would be at the top of your list?
All of us have to answer this.
I would be a professional ballroom dancer.
I love that about you. I have to create. If my day job wasn't acting and I needed another day job, I'd just find a way to make money doing something else I'm making.
Like a car? Like working on an assembly line?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Making a car. I would actually love to do what you guys do. Over the course of doing this podcast, and I've joked about it, only half joking though, I would love to be a detective. I know there are things about it that would sort of probably challenge my soul and my sensibilities, but I am so fascinated by what you do.
What about you, Dave?
pro golfer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Baseball coach.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Love that. That's on the record. Small Town Dicks is produced by Zibby Allen and Yardley Smith for Paperclip Limited.
This minisode was edited by Soren Bajan, Logan Heftel, Yardley Smith, and Zibby Allen.
Music for the show was composed by John Forrest. Our associate producer is Aaron Gaynor, and our books are cooked and cats wrangled by Ben Cornwell.
If you like what you hear and want to stay up to date with the show, consider visiting us at smalltowndicks.com.
And feel free to subscribe to us on new forthcoming episodes.